Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Episode 32, The Creative Benefits of Righteous Anger. Now, I know all of us have, a certain cross to bear, something that, if not weighs us down, it carries with us, maybe throughout our entire days. For some folks, it can be, the melancholy of depression. Others can be certain ailments that they have, diabetes or bum leg or, problems with their vision. And some folks, it can be something more emotional. Anger could be one of those. I know that's something that I deal with a lot. I like to call it Righteous Anger, which is the name after this show is after an essay I wrote in the 90s. Got first published in New Zealand. And I was presupposing in this that maybe you can use anger, especially if it's something that you deal with a lot. I know I'm more short of a temper than probably most people. I'm not exactly sure why, other than I just don't like to see people bullied. I don't like to see the weak get trodden on. I just don't care for that sort of thing, especially when people can be doing something about it. And I guess, unfortunately, I'm one of those people that try to do something about it for the good and maybe sometimes for the bad. But that's just who I am. And I think many times, You might be able to harness anger in a way that you could do some good with it. Even though, ultimately, it's not always the best for your health, the best for your blood pressure, maybe sometimes even the best on the outlook. Sometimes being angry a lot can sort of spoil you on people, or maybe even on hope or faith. But I have to tackle those things as well. And ultimately, I think anger has benefited me in many ways, and that's why we're talking about the creative benefits of anger. What can you do with it? Well, first of all, if you think about it, you've got to have some drive to get writing going. You do. It might not be always the drive of this topic I'm really passionate about, let me write about it, or, I really like this novel and it's going great and can't wait for the next character development and blah, blah, blah. That's good, too, and that's important as a writer and as somebody who's just creative, but you can't always do that. There's days where you got to write, and you don't really have lots of ideas. Maybe you don't have anything that can go forward with your character development or just the plot itself. Sometimes you need a bit of a kick in the butt, whether it's from somebody else, maybe like me, or just from yourself. The anger of, I have to get something done today. I got to move forward. I can't let time just be wasted. And that's not a bad anger to have. It's the kind of anger of wanting to just get action going. Because many a times we can't go forward without having some sort of energy. And if it's not going to be the creative idea energy, well, then it might just be the emotional energy of being upset about accomplishing something, just the drama of getting something done, to push yourself maybe beyond where you might be. Maybe people don't realize that many writers, they write often under frustration and even sometimes the auspices of anger. They don't always write in the complete exact direction of the muse or something compelling them to do so. Sometimes you're just doing it because you got to do it. You got to get something accomplished and you're hoping to make something happen. Sometimes anger can help release some of our creative energy that's inside. Could be trapped from a bad day or could be stuck because our mind's elsewhere and it needs to be on something creative, something focused on the writing. anger will do that. I know I use it in many parts of my life anyway, for the good, like I said, and from the bad. I mean, I remember one time I was in a political campaign, and after we had spent so much time convincing a bar owner to use the side of his building, you know, to put up a poster for our candidate, I'm not even coming back the next day, and somebody's up there with a ladder already putting up the poster for the opponent. I didn't even bother to go inside to see what happened, why the person changed their mind. I just went over to the ladder, started shaking it, so the guy almost fell off. He came down really angry, and I said, "What the hell are you doing?" And he said, "You need to talk to the owner there. I'm just doing my job." That was the right thing for them to say, and that's exactly what happened. I don't know, sometimes people, they'll flip right on you in a moment, for a couple bags of silver. We know it from the Bible days, so it's not like it's a new thing. But to see it up right there close in hand, boy, I tell you, I was definitely infuriated. I'm surprised he didn't take a swing at me or start a fight, because he'd have every right to do so. But unlike him, I was already prepared for all of that, so it wouldn't bother me one bit. But I would have had to beat up a guy for nothing then, and what a waste of energy that would be. But yeah, anger can sometimes bring you into bad places. But I tell you, more times than not, I don't get good people get angry enough. They let all this nonsense go on in their community or in the world or in their life, and they do very little to stand up to it. Whether it's a family that's mistreating you out of disrespect or just taking you for granted, or it's just some stranger acting the fool around you, because they don't seem to think you're going to do anything about it. And a lot of times when people read you that way, that's probably the truth. And then other times, you need anger in order to get things done. Maybe things of a social justice nature, or smacking some guy in the head for harassing a woman, or, you know, kicking somebody in the butt for throwing an animal out the window, or abusing something. Just general pollution and littering. No reason for it. Only anger can help you go tackle that. Stop those people from doing so. That's really what anger does. It's not necessarily, an overall negative thing. If you're doing it in a way that is something that's defending a good cause. I mean, and that's how a lot of my anger, I often frame it. Although I'm sure I rationalize some of it. Some of it's probably not good. So I'm not trying to be a saint here. I'm who I am. But there's some good parts of it, and we'll try to talk about that as well as some of the bad parts of it. Now, how do we get anger to help us in a creative way? Well, it's not too difficult, okay? Anger and creativity is much different than, let's say, the anger of you doing some kind of karate, where it's told, and they're correct in that philosophy, that the anger of a fighter only is going to blind him in his own defense. You actually don't have a control. You have actually lost some of the control with anger, and therefore you can't concentrate on defending yourself or, you know, hurting the attacker or winning the fight. You good chance you might not win it, because anger is a loss of control in some philosophies that believe that control of the emotion allows you to have enough stability and enough foresight in order to be able to accomplish your mission, you know, in the physical way. Where in creative pursuits, anger could be helpful as a focusing mechanism. You can say to yourself, man, I got to get this done. I'm going to keep writing in this. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep saying this. I'm going to keep thinking that. And sometimes you're getting angry about it. And it's that anger that helps propel that creativity, and it can be very useful. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're angry trying to get this done, that angry things come out of your pen or your typewriter or your keyboard. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're writing, you know, "I will punch him in the face. I don't like the sun," you know, nothing like that. I mean, it could still be something positive and interesting and useful, but you've had to use anger as a fuel to get there. Many a times, It is the people that need to communicate the most that can also be angry. They feel that. I mean, many writers, they say, you know, can be an angry pastime, so to speak. And I think some of that's just because we see the people around us many a times, and you just wonder, how do they live their lives lacking curiosity about things around them, not caring about whether the community is clean or dirty, or dangerous or not dangerous. Oh, it's not my problem. Blah, blah, blah. And then you that gets you upset because you're like, really? You're living in the same world I'm living in, right? So how's this not your problem? Except idiot comes into the neighborhood, you know, waving a weapon, cursing and screaming when children are trying to play. It's just amazing. And people just don't even think about that. So oftentimes my anger is really about people's lack of anger, about their lack of participation, the lack of volunteering, the lack of curiosity drives me insane. How can you not be curious about something that's going on? I just don't understand that, you know? I don't understand the way this government is working, but then there's no curiosity to find out what the heck happened. Why did it get this way? Could it be that there's a lot of people like you that don't care? Could it be that they didn't vote at all to change anything? Or maybe they just voted for somebody that wasn't really in their interest, or the community's interest for that matter? Yeah, that could be a good reason to get angry. I know that's some of the things that get me going. That's for sure. I know it's not for everyone, and that's fine. I'm not really saying that I'm expecting every single person on earth to walk around angry, wanting to get something done. But I sure like to see a whole lot more of them, you know? And this is the reason why that I don't really get too mad with people who demonstrate out there, or people who protest. You know, I don't even get mad on people that have different, more radical political views than I do. I really don't. I mean, I'd like to see people out there talking about things, trying to get something done. If you find out, especially if they're sincere, even if you don't agree with them, you got to have a measure of respect. They're out there trying to do something, at least. Lots of people are not. It's why so many bad things happen in the world. You know why it happens in the world, so many bad things? Not because there's a lot of bad people out there. It's because there's a lot of good people out there that's not willing to do anything about it. So it doesn't take much for something bad to happen or continue to happen. We've seen that in particularly in the Middle East. You had a group called ISIS that had some crazy goals about making it gigantic countries into this Islamic State. And no one took any of that stuff seriously at all. Oh, that's crazy. A year later, you know, they have Texas-sized territory. They're literally printing their own money. They have their own government. They have their own rules. They have their own post office. Let me tell you something, folks. Once the so-called terrorist group has its own postal system, there might not be terrorist groups anymore. They might be forming into something else. And they were telling us, no, we're something else. We're a caliphate. We're from the old days. We're going to have a whole empire of this naughtiness. No, let's not take them seriously. Until 2 years later, I mean, literally thousands of people dying. Women tortured, raped, and murdered before we did anything about it at all. So this is why it's not hard to get angry at the world. People like that could have been stopped early on. And imagine all the people that could have been saved. So that's a problem when we get apathetic and we don't do anything. And as creative people, many times we could be the same way. I mean, I talk to people on a regular basis here. I'm not a shy person. Whether it's on the phone, on Messenger, on text, email, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. You know, and more times than not, people seem to be more interested and being so concerned about their problems, whatever they might be, because some of them are big and some of them are not, and then they forget the pursuits they should be doing. All the time they had on their hands, they could have been doing something. Now when something happens in their life, it's just more of a delay. That's why so many creative things don't get done by people who are creative, because they're too busy trying to worry about life instead of worry about their art. If they used the time they had available to get something done, well, when something does happen, you got some time to take a break from it then, versus taking a break from another break. And then you wonder why I'm 3 months behind on this thing. Yeah, of course you are. Because you're spending 2 months on social media complaining, and then the other month not doing anything. Yeah, that's about 3 months. Mm-hmm, that'd be correct. Where's the anger in that? Where's the anger to say that, hey, whatever life is going to be thrown at me, I'm still going to figure out a way to continue my creative pursuits. I have a goal. I have an objective I want to get accomplished. And that's not going to get accomplished if my family's going half-cock every other day. And I'm stuck in the middle of it. No. Figure out ways to pull yourself out of that nonsense. Everybody has health issues. Okay, I got that. Again, got to figure out a way to get around that. Work through it. I don't know how many people I know that creatively operate in pain. Everybody does it in some way. Athletes do it. People go to work every day in pain because they got bills to do. So why can't we do it with creativity? You know, I'm in pain today. I can't be creative. Oh, of course you can. There's editing you could do. There's plenty of other things you could do that doesn't require enormous emotional or psychological energy. And you can still get something done. So we don't have any good reasons other than I don't feel like doing it. Well, that's the things that get me angry. Because I hear that, I'm like, come on, you need to snap to it. Get with it. That's why we keep saying all the time on this show, even though art might not be a job, it still requires a work ethic, like a job. You still got to be able to put time aside. You still got to be able to put yourself into it, regardless of what's going on, to get something accomplished. It's not going to get accomplished by itself, you know? That's what makes writing a particularly very unique pastime, because it's not like a regular job where you can call it sick and somebody else will take your place and do it. Yeah, you know, it's not like washing the dishes. You know, I'm not feeling up to this. Can you take this over for me? Oh, yeah, sure. I owe you. Thanks. No one can write for you. They're not going to think for you. They're not going to take notes from you. They're not going to edit for you. Well, I guess some people can edit for you if you want to give them a whole bundle of money and trust it's going to get done. But we got a show coming up showing how fraudulent that can be. It's about you. You have to do these things. And if that means you got to be angry at the world for a moment, or at your family for a moment, or even at yourself for a moment, then be angry. It's better to be angry and try to get something done than walk around with a smile on your face and nothing's getting done. I don't know, maybe I sound like a cynical Northeasterner, and maybe that's true, and that's fine. But I'm always suspicious of people that smile too much. Because I'm like, what the hell are you smiling about? I mean, you got everything you want to get done this day, this week, this month, this year? No? Then what are you smiling about? I don't get it. I want to show the world part of him. What are you showing the world? That you're a positive idiot? Because I don't see the point. Smile later when you get something accomplished. Well, maybe that sounds like anger to you, but it's also my true feeling that there's no point in any of that until you get something done. Then you can smile. Then you can be excited. Until then, you got to be focused. And maybe a bit angry to get things done. Because you don't know what kind of time you have on in the world. You just don't. People go in a moment. I can't tell you how many times, and I just stop wanting to count, that I'll be talking to somebody on the phone or friends I've known for a long time. We're communicating, and I go out for a couple of days out of commission, and the next thing you know, I find out they're dead. All younger than me. Out of the blue, things just happen. They're dead. And it's unbelievable. It really is. Because I keep saying to myself, I hope they accomplish all the things they want to accomplish. I hope they've taken all the time they could to live it out the most as they can. Because when you don't know when that grim reaper coming for you. You don't know. And then what do you do then? You know? I don't know. If you think this way, but I often think in the afterlife, how many people walking around upset? They say that's why spirits haunt places, because they're upset that certain things they didn't get accomplished. I'm like, yeah, I hear that. I'd probably be the most grumpiest ghost out there. They probably send me back over here and just get out of here. You're too grumpy for us. I'm like, yeah, there's so much stuff I want to get done. I don't have time for death. And that's really how we have to consider many things that we do. Let's do it, because we don't know what kind of time we have left. That's why it's another creative benefit of anger, to try to use our time more wisely. If you're away from something creative and you're doing things, you want to try to do it to the best of your ability, whether it's spending time with your children or, you know, walking in a park or playing a game of cards or even watching a TV show. Just try to take it in as much as you can. Because when you want to get back to creative stuff, that's when you know you have to be able to be on all fours, so to speak, ready to run, ready to tackle it. So therefore, our time and our energy hasn't just gone out the window, because there's so many people out there that, yeah, they're not taking advantage of what they should. You know, they let time go by, and then they wonder why, when that day comes for them, there's so much stuff unwritten, unsaid, undone. I really don't want to be one of those people. I want to get a lot of this stuff done. I really do. And I continue to do so, believing that I still have something to say, that I still have something to write. I have still things that I want to get done, and I don't want them to be undone, because they're certainly not going to get done when I'm in the afterlife, where apparently all things are answered and everything's wonderful. I don't know about you, but I don't even know if I'm interested in the afterlife. It sounds kind of boring. What is my purpose? Everything's been answered and everything can be handed to you. Really? Maybe I shouldn't die then, because that sounds pretty boring. I'd rather be over here doing things. Sounds a lot more interesting than sitting around there. Yeah, I know everything now. Don't think I like that idea at all. Maybe I'm angry. Fine. But definitely don't like that. Now, let's also think of anger as a way to recharge sometimes the batteries we let go that have run down. I know I talk to people and they tell me, like, I'm just tired. I'm running out of ideas. I'm kind of like to and fro with the storms of the world. I was just talking to a guy the other day. He was just like, I'm just exhausted. I wonder if I can continue to do this or not. And of course, I don't make fun of writers when they say this, but I try to consider, you know, where they're coming from on the situation. Here's a guy that's writing less than 5 years. He's telling me he's exhausted and he don't know if he can continue. I'm on my 37th year, so, you know, I have to ask him. I mean, isn't it kind of soon to be wanting to quit? How about we examine the goals and make sure you understand what your expectations are? Let's see if you need to adjustments that way, because usually when people kind of feel like they're getting burnt out, it's just because they're not viewing things in the correct way, you know? If they thought they were going to be Stephen King in 5 years or something, or ever, probably not exactly a suitable goal. You know, or if they thought that this should be following off along, or, you know, more people were going to appreciate this, I don't think they have a full understanding of the long game where it concerns writing and the calling that you'd hope they have, but not everyone does have it. I don't like the idea of someone quitting for whatever reason. So it's just not in me, and it's not something I preach. Even though I understand, and I do, that some people, this might not be for them. They might not be cracked up for the kind of stuff that we have to go through. And I understand that. So I'm never one of those people that want to push those people if I don't really think they have it in them in the end to continue. I'm not going to be one of those people that push either, but I'm just not one of those people that, you know, tell them to quit. So I'm one of those people that just simply say, take a break then and reevaluate it. You know, see if this is for you. I guess it's a nice way of saying, you know, quit if you really think that's really what you have to do. But I just can't use the words, and I can't really get that out to people, because I just don't like the idea of someone stopping. I've seen people take breaks and come back stronger. So that's part of the reason why I say it, in the hope that they will come back and do what I think is the right thing. But I understand it's not for everyone. The writing life can be a lonely life when people just don't understand you. You find somebody you connect with, especially as a writer, with another writer. I mean, you want to keep that person in your life as long as possible. Hopefully the whole life, because you're not going to find too many people that get you. So start learning to communicate more with people, whether it's through social media or writing groups or, you know, however you want to go about doing it. But try to do it, because there'll be times in your life or times in your week that you're going to need those people to talk to now and then. And it's better to have that, because even with anger, it only goes so far. Eventually, even that gets tired and not useful, and you just want to connect with people. Because, like I said, writing is a very difficult proposition, which is unusual, because we're in a day and age now where we have this ultimate freedom to put out things and do things. But in many cases, people are also so incredibly busy in their lives, and they have so many complex things going on, and there's so many things that ultimately can take your attention or become very distractful. And then you have to wonder, hey, what is going on, you know? You'd think that maybe writing cannot be for you. But I think it's for a lot of people, and that's why I always push it, because too many people, they fall to the wayside, you know? And I don't know anything about this millennials, the younger people, and how they don't have this, and they don't have that. Every other generation before them says something nonsensical. So don't take any of that stuff seriously. All right? So if you're a millennial right now, don't listen to saying that crap. All right? I mean, I was a Generation X person. All right? They were saying all this nonsense about me. Blah, 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 blah. Now 30 years later. Wow, Generation X is incredibly full of work ethic. 30 years later, they were all lazy and idiots. So they say that about everybody on the new generation. So it's just part of human nature for people to say that. It's a product of people wanting to feel better about their generation by putting yours down. That's all it is. It'll keep happening forever. All right? So don't take any of it seriously. I don't really think that these so-called millennials are any more or less dedicated to writing than anybody else. I've seen plenty of people do that. Just like I don't think that writing in a sense needs to be from a certain class of people, you know? Oh, it's only from the people who feel the call to do it. I feel that calling. I always have, and I've held my whole life. Not everybody might feel that way. You know? We got a lot of people that I deal with a lot that have only been writing a couple of years. 3, 4, 5 years. Because it's now become a real serious preoccupation with them after they've retired. And I don't believe in this nonsense about judging these people about how they're not really writers or they're not really dedicated and blah, 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 because they haven't done this their whole life. They're ready to do this now. They got the time to do so. I don't know why we want to be standing in their way or being difficult or not wanting to help them. Doesn't matter what kind of writer you are or what kind of status of a writer you are. Writers is writers. Give them the help just like anyone else. And believe that maybe they can make something out of it. Who's to say they can't bring perspectives that you and I can't? Remember, they've had a lifetime of family rearing and work. What, they don't have a bearing in their writing on their lives? Somehow they're just not good enough because they're 55 or 67 years old or something? That's just crazy. It's just as bad to judge the older writers than it is the younger ones. Because these are, I don't even like to use the word stereotype, because that's just getting stupid. It doesn't mean too much anymore. It's just a real bad prejudgment to make that simply doesn't fulfill the bill. I mean, don't know why someone wants to make that. So I don't. So I deal with all kinds of people. Don't care how old you are. Don't care how young you are. I only care about the only thing that's ever made sense to me, and it's the thing I judge everyone on. I don't care if you're disabled or you're depressed, or you're from Africa, or you're just coming down the road here from New Jersey. It doesn't matter. Same thing you're going to be judged on. Can you write? Can you continue to write? Do you care about writing? These are the things that are important. What kind of work are you putting out there? Let me check this out. Those are the things we have to judge people by. The products that are coming out of whatever talent that's formed in them. Whatever thought they have. Whatever work they put into it. That's how you judge people. It's just that simple. Judge them by their works. Not too difficult to do. And in fact, pretty darn biblical. Yeah. Don't mean to sound religious, but some things are just right, period. and we abate a little bit more of that, we would have less nonsense in the world. Probably less war, too. Because you wouldn't worry about differences. You just worried about what they can bring to the table from that difference. Is there something interesting new I can see? Hey, I bet you there is. Because we're not going to have all the same perspectives. In fact, we're not even going to have all the same anger. Everyone's going to have a different slant on that anger. But sometimes all anger is, it's less focused passion. Because passion tends to be focused on one or two things, where anger just tends to be a little bit everywhere. And maybe that's all that anger is. It's a type of, unfocused passion. That's really the best way to put that. And I see it all the time in people when they want to try to get their work out. So I'm always excited to see the young angry artist. I like that. I really do. It means that there's a chance for our creativity to continue in the universe and from the world to continue. I know it probably sounds unusual for you, for someone to say, I'm pro-angry. I think anger is great. But I'm sorry to say I do, because I live in the world that oftentimes things happen badly because people are not angry enough. They're not passionate enough about things that they should be more involved in. They all want to pretend they're happy or pretend everything's okay. And all that pretend stuff gets us to the brink of war, sometimes to war. Or this pretend stuff, it can be deadly. I'll pretend these vaccinations are bad. I won't take them. And then when all these kids get sick and they're dying, I don't know what happened. Well, I don't know. You pretended you're a responsible adult and now children are dead. There you go. That's what happened. Okay? Rather than being more angry about things, trying to understand, try to study. If you hear something stupid like vaccinations don't work, why don't you go look into it and see the 20, 30, 40 studies that are out there? See that even corporations, as bad name as they might get, even they have children. Even they need to do the right thing. Even they understand for the bottom line, if not just for universal morality, they're not going to put stuff down there on purpose that are going to harm people. They're simply not going to do that. It makes no sense all across the board. Just logic alone should inform you of that, but you could do plenty of research on your own. Don't have to listen to some screaming idiot bag that says stuff that you can literally hurt yourself and your family with. That's what I mean about that. Investigate. Care. Really, that's what anger is in many instances. It's just another way of caring. Might be a little loud. Might even sound a little negative. But it's a form of caring. And I don't see enough of that out there in the world in general. And sometimes in creativity. Folks, we got to try to do things that make a difference. I'm not saying every single poem of yours has to be something that's created to change the planet. Now, every poem has to be about racism or sexism or terrorism or whatever isms that we're upset with this week. I mean, you could also write poems about the forest or the trees or your cat. Objects floating in outer space, that's fine. Just do your best. Do something that makes some kind of a difference artistically, if not socially. That's what I mean about living the most of the time we have. Putting everything into that. I've seen some great space poems, believe it or not. And people go, what? A space poem? But hey, I like that. I like something that's different and interesting. Why not? We're right now in the new age of rocketry. Private companies are doing better things than governments are doing right now. They'll probably have us up there as a space tourist soon one day. Wouldn't surprise me is when we land on the moon, it'll probably be partly because of a private company that got us there. So incredible things are happening in the age we're living in right now. We have more things we can be writing about. So after you've written the 18th poem about how your boyfriend broke your heart, let's get on to some space poems, okay? something new and interesting and different, please. Be upset about something else. Maybe something in your community. Do something. That's what writers do. They can help change the world when they get angry enough. And that's why I've said it time and time again. The dictators of the world, the tyrants of the world, they're not afraid of a rebel group. They're not afraid of a rocket hitting them. They're afraid of a writer. You know why they're afraid of a writer? who has no weapons, because they know the writer has the most weapons of all. Has the weapons of words that could change people's minds. And once that happens, suddenly they don't have any more grip on power. When someone writes something that changes people's minds. We've seen it in communist Russia. We've seen it all around the world. You know, they imprisoned my favorite playwright, Václav Havel, over in Czechoslovakia for a play. They killed another one of my friends in Nigeria for a play. So people can be killed for poems, for plays. Journalists are killed on a regular basis for writing stories that happen to be true. So they know. The bad people of the world, they know. They might actually keep somebody alive who's even tried to shoot them with a gun more than they'll keep a writer alive, because they know how dangerous words can be and how ideas can be changed, how we can go into the soul of a human being and maybe get them to see something that that entire corrupt regime couldn't do, couldn't buy it out of them. But our words can do something to bring about a new life, a new sense of being, a new direction. That's what writing can do. And that's what anger can do. And that's the creative benefits of anger. So use it to your advantage, folks. Use it so you can make the world a better place. Use it because you want to be able to tell people that you care. And sometimes you might have to use it to tell somebody you don't care. I don't care for your attitude. I don't care for your harassment of people. I don't care that you're so disengaged with the world. Okay? It doesn't revolve around pizza and hamburgers, folks. Sometimes it revolves just about doing the right thing for another person. Especially when that person's a stranger. That's how the world starts changing. Stranger says, wow, maybe that's something I need to do. And it just kind of snowballs from there. All right, folks, until next time, thank you very much for being with me, helping making this show to be such a success. I'm so proud of it, and I'm so proud of the comments and everything I've gotten from folks. Even the ones that had something a little bit snarky to say, I'll roll with it. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.